In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're going to be doing the 18th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the theme of these readings is exactly the same as last week. It's on the bread of life. This is, you see, we're in a warm season. The church takes readings and goes slowly with them, so that we can ponder them. And so we're going to be doing this. The key is John 6. We're in John. And so we're going to be giving background to John 6 and then a portion of John 6 for a few weeks. And it's very beautiful. And that's why I picked the topic for this first part as the sacramentality of the Word. Because the Word is nourishment. It's food. And there are some beautiful texts. We're going to look at a few more now, because you need to hear this, you see. My eye just fell on one. Sirach is describing wisdom, Lady Wisdom. And he says, she will feed him, the searcher, with the bread of understanding and give him the water of wisdom to drink. Now, if you think about this enough, you can see how there is within us a foundation for this, which is also a prophecy of the Eucharist, where we do physically take in wisdom. We take in the Word of God. And so these texts are anticipating that and using a common in Israel, anyway. I don't know whether, I don't think I've ever heard it in like the Greek understanding of Sophia, but I haven't really studied it. I don't know that. Another one from Sirach. This is the end of the book. Come to me, you who desire me, and eat your fill of my produce. For the remembrance of me is sweeter than honey. And my inheritance is sweeter than the honeycomb. My inheritance, what I give you, you see? Those who eat me will hunger for more, and those who drink me will thirst for more. Whoever obeys me will never be put to shame, and those who work with my help will not sin. But you see again, it's this satisfying. Our minds are so made, if you take it now from a more Greek point of view, slightly more, our minds don't rest until they rest in the ultimate reality. They just don't. Augustine puts that another way. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Or, I am hungry to know the real meaning of things. Why is there anything? Why do I have this hunger to see God? What, who is, you see? And that hunger, you see, which is a deep spiritual longing, you see, is best compared to physical hunger. And learning wisdom is best compared to feeding on real rich food, as that text in Isaiah tells us, okay? And for instance, Amos threatens the people. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. It is common biblical, as you can see. It's a common biblical way of speaking. But it's rooted in something very deep in the human spirit. This is an interesting text. When I used to teach this book of Proverbs, I used to love this text. This is Proverbs 2. Why? Because, as we're going to see when we get to John 6, you see, work for the food which the Son of Man will give you. Well, if I'm going to work for it, why is he giving it? And if he's going to give it, why do I have to work for it? Well, there's a text in Proverbs 2 that sort of explains that or provides the same. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands, turning your ear to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for intelligence and to understanding, raise your voice. If you seek her like silver and like hidden treasures, search her out, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. The knowledge of God you will find. For the Lord gives wisdom. Now you see, if you're going to do all, you're going to keep striving and looking and searching and working, then the Lord gives it. And that's this rhythm. Because you see, the very search for wisdom is already a gift. And so, these texts which are talking about feeding, then a whole other series of texts, starting with the text in Genesis 2, is about the tree of life. The tree of life is about knowledge. Knowledge of good and evil is what was held out to Eve, which means to do what you want, and you determine whether it's good or evil. But there's another way that you can receive the tree of life, because it's wisdom, and live by it. You see? And out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food, and the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now that's an interesting text, right? Because when Eve is looking at this thing, she sees it, delightful to the eyes, satisfying to the taste, and delightful to make one wise. But the wisdom she's looking for is the wisdom of control. I want to do what I want, and I want to say whether it's good or evil. This applies to many things in life, but right now it seems to apply a lot to abortion. We will declare that that child is a non-child, or we will declare that murder is all right, but we're determining good or evil. Later in the book of Proverbs, it said, wisdom is a tree of life who lay hold of her. That comes allusion to Genesis, right? Again in Proverbs, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, but lawlessness takes away lives. And this is Proverbs personified, the Lady Wisdom. Happy is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord, but he who misses me injures himself. All who hate me love death. And so, then the promise, we're going to move on, but I'm trying to point out that there's something deep in us that understands we hunger and thirst to know the absolute. We're made for that. And it's not just enough to say it's a desire. It's a hunger. It's a thirst. I'm trying to remember how the first part of that went. Oh, yes. This friend of a friend tried to get this fellow to pray. And he said, I don't have time. He was a vice president of IBM at 42. He had a family of six. He was on the board of, what do you call those things, the parish council. And this guy said, well, give me 15 minutes. He said, all right, I'll try that. So I'm a couple months later. You've heard me tell this story before. And the fellow says, well, how you doing? He says, I'm praying an hour a day. The guy said, well, how come? You know what his word was? It got to be a hunger. You see how we hunger for more than food, is all I'm saying. And so this notion that wisdom is food, you see, lies at the basis of so much of what we're going to be doing as we go through Romans, John 6. Underlying it is this notion, I am the bread of life. And finally, I am the living bread. And he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, see, lives by me. Well, how do we eat and drink his flesh and blood? First, by hungering and thirsting for his truth, and then by taking it right into our physical body and being united with him, which is a foretaste of heaven. Because united like that to him physically is the way we'll live forever. And so, I'm going to read again the text that I read last week because it's such a nice one, if you don't mind. And it's St. Thomas's commentary on John 6. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. What does that mean? What do you live by? Well, I mean, my body lives by bread, by food. You see, the thing is, in the Semitic language is lechem, which is bread, or lachem in Arabic, means food, not just bread, but bread because it's sort of the most important of the foods, I guess. Now the bread of wisdom is called the bread of life, to distinguish it from material bread, which is the bread of death, because it only serves to restore what has been lost by a more mortal organism. You can keep your body going by eating, but that's all. Hence, material bread is necessary only during this mortal life. When we see God, we're not going to have to eat. But the bread of divine wisdom is life-giving of itself, and no death can affect it. So now we've spent two of these sessions preparing to enter more deeply into that remark that I read to you the very first day from Verbum Domini, the Word of the Lord, number 56, where it says, I just want to bring out that one part again because it's so important. The sacramentality of the Word can thus be understood by analogy with the real presence of Christ under the appearances of the consecrated bread and wine. By approaching the altar and partaking of the Eucharistic banquet, we truly share in the body and blood of Christ. The proclamation of God's word at the celebration entails an acknowledgement that Christ himself is present and that he speaks to us. A deeper understanding of the sacramentality of God's word can thus lead to a more unified understanding of the mystery of revelation, which takes place through deeds and words intimately connected. Appreciation of this can only benefit the spiritual life of the faithful. The Word of God is food and drink. The Word of God keeps us alive. It satisfies us. And you see the heart of that Word of God? It's the will of the Father. You remember when the disciples came back? They'd been away buying some food, and our Lord's been talking with the Samaritan woman. And when they come back, you know, he says, I have food already that you don't know about. They thought, did somebody give him something to eat? And now he means, my food is to do the will of my Father. I live by that. And we too, because that's the Word. The heart of the Word is Jesus. And that's why, as we've already seen, he's the one who is the fire of Sinai. Amen.